We've been talking about the inner man and outer man and how transformation takes place when you're born again, that new inner man that's created by God, birthed by the Father, is of God while he leaves the outward man in death, in darkness. And now you have an inner man that's of God that wants to grow and mature in the things of God. And on this path, if you continue to let that inner man grow, you'll begin to experience a transformation. And we read about that in Romans 12, verse 2. And as you're turning there, Romans 12, verse 2, let's take a moment and acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is with us right now. He's right there with you. He's always with you, but it's good to acknowledge him and take a moment and just remind yourself that he's with you. He loves you. God is for you, not against you. He believes in you, even when you don't believe in yourself. So, Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for ministering to us today, strengthening us by your Spirit, building us up every day as we spend time with you. We acknowledge you as everything we need. In Jesus' name, amen. What an incredible understanding of God's value for you. He doesn't want anything from you. He doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your house or your activities. He needs you. And he needs the part of you that he created. And that is your inner man. Now the picture is this, and we're going to get to Romans 12 here in a second, but the picture is this, that when you were born again, you were completely of the species of Adam. Your inner man was there in existence, but it was of darkness because your nature was of darkness and your outward man was of darkness. And the moment you got born again, you received that new nature of God. And that new nature brought to life that inner man. Now, the new nature is complete. It's a little ball of righteousness. It's an engine of righteousness, a little ball of light and righteousness. It's what makes you righteous. If you have the new nature, you're righteous. Not because of anything you do. You can't get more righteous, and you can't get less righteous. Either you're righteous or you're not. That's the new nature. Now, the inner man, the new man, the inner man, is a picture of the body, the mind, will, and emotions inside that spiritual man. That also was born again and came to life. The new nature is complete. It's like a seed. It doesn't get more righteous, but it wants to bring forth Jesus in that inner man. And God couldn't do with the outward man because the outward man isn't saved yet. The outward man's not saved until the trumpet sounds. And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you'll have a full outward righteous man, and it will connect to your inner man, which is already light and righteous. And so when we read Romans 12, verse 2, I want us to read it with the miracle understanding of what he's talking about here. He's not talking about something that you just choose. A transformation is a process. And by using that word transformation, in verse 2, I'll read it, Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So there is a transformation process. Now, when you see renewing of the mind, I want you to not think about it like I need to change my thinking. Because a good old boy down the street can buy some multi-level motivational speaker videos on how to change their life. And never knowing God can change their life, change their habits, change how they live, all without the power of God. So this word transformation really means has to be done by God. You can't do it. You can't just choose it. And that's the picture here. It says, don't be conformed, be transformed So the transformation word is, we know it's the same word we use when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's a metamorphoso. And when a caterpillar transforms, it becomes a butterfly. And so what Paul is telling us as the church, that now that you're born again, in this picture, you're like a caterpillar. You can't fly yet until you transform. And that's my concern with the modern carnal church. And I say that, I'm not trying to be mean about that. You know, God bless everyone who preaches Jesus. They're getting people to heaven, and God's pleased with them. But you can see here that in this transformation, it'll take you out of the good will of God into a higher level of the will of God, acceptable to the highest level of walking your life in the perfect will of God. You can't do that without transformation. So when we see the word transformation, he's saying you're a caterpillar. Yes, you're born again and you're going to heaven, but you're a caterpillar. So I like to say it this way. Can a caterpillar choose to fly? I believe in flying. Can a caterpillar believe in faith that he's going to fly? Can a caterpillar choose to fly? Can a caterpillar name it and claim it? I'm a flyer. I want to soar like the eagles. If that's all they ever do, there's a problem. Because a caterpillar cannot choose to fly. A caterpillar cannot choose to fly. A caterpillar, if it wants to fly, has one job. To build a cocoon, die in that cocoon, and be metamorphosized inside of that cocoon and come out as a butterfly with wings. And then to fly, it's the easiest thing to do. If you ever watch a video on caterpillars, when they come out of the cocoon, their wings are all wet. And just as soon as they dry, they start flying. It's amazing. They don't need school or be trained how to fly. It's natural for them. Well, God wants us to transform to a place where everything the Word says is natural. Raising the dead, if you want to go there, healing the sick, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, crippled babies open, limbs grown. And beyond that, before that, even just having His peace and His love and His joy rule in your life. That's available for every single believer. But it's not by faith, it's by transformation. And the way the Lord spoke to me on this was, He said that word transformation, the way a preacher sees this verse will determine where he takes the people. Either they're going to take them down a path of just standing in faith, the same way a caterpillar cannot choose to fly. A born-again believer cannot choose to love. The agape love cannot choose to fulfill the perfect will of God. Well, God, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. That's obedience. But there's so much more to obedience. You have to grow up so He can tell you things to do so you can do it. He's not going to tell you to do things that you're going to fail at. He's going to help you grow up in the inner man, where the maturing takes place, the renewing takes place. Maybe the next video I'll do on the word renewing, you're going to find that that renewing is in the inner man. It's not changing my thinking. I'm not just changing my thinking. I'm changing where I think from. And the inner man has the ability to know the very and hold and build on the very truth of ancient wisdom of God Himself. The outward man cannot. God is the Father of your inner man and not the outward man. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So a Christian cannot just choose to walk in the perfect will of God. A Christian cannot just choose to love their neighbor with agape love. We can choose to love in Alan's love, but Alan's love is limited. Christ's love is not. And I have the ability, and so do you, to develop that agape love in the inner man. But it doesn't come instantaneous. Let's look here in Galatians chapter 5. I know a lot of this is pass in review, but it's the way we get the picture in us of what it means to transform. If you are a person who's been praying in tongues for a number of years, and or months even, you'll begin to see this picture of transformation in your own life as I describe it. If you're not a tongue talker, you should be, because a lot of what's available to us is through the personal prayer language of praying in the Holy Ghost. God doesn't need anything from you. He needs himself in you. He needs you. He loves you. But he doesn't need your works. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your talents. He needs you, the person of you. And what a miracle salvation is that we started in one species, the human race. Now, let's just meander there for a minute. The human race is from Adam. Now, God's image was in Adam when he created Adam. Adam was as perfect as God was perfect, as holy as God was holy. He was made in the image of God. But that image of God stopped and ceased in the human race, ceased in Adam. The moment he sinned, he became a different creature, a creature of darkness. And that's why he said the most horrible verse in the Bible, "Adam, where are you?" in Genesis, "Where are you?" Well, God wasn't playing hide and seek, like, "I don't know where you are, hiding behind a bush, where are you?" No, "Where are you? The son that I created, the person I created in my image is gone." And when God told him, "If you eat of the fruit, you will die," God wasn't lying. The Adam that God created died that moment that he ate of the fruit. And now there was a new creature with the same name and looked the same, but of a different species. A species of man started when Adam sinned. And the image of God stopped, ceased inside of Adam, and the human race does not have the image of God in them anymore. So when you were born again, God created in you the same way he did in Adam. He put himself in you, and that's the new nature. The new nature is the righteousness of God. And that brought to life, that righteousness rebooted, brought to life the inner man, which is always there. Adam was created to live and exist in both realms at the same time. And not just Adam, it was God's heart for the whole human race to be able to fellowship with an invisible God of the Spirit, see him, talk to him, hug him, fellowship with him, laugh with him, walk through the garden with him. Adam was created to be able to be in the spiritual world and in the natural world, where he would chase Eve around the garden at the same time. And so when Adam sinned, his spiritual man and his outward natural man died and were now of darkness and death. Death, not like a dead animal, but of death, of darkness. And that's what he passed on to all of his children. The whole human race has always had an inner man and an outward man of darkness and a nature of darkness. The nature is not the same as the inner man. The same way if I describe my car, inside of the car is an engine. Well, the engine is part of the car, but it's also separate than the car. Well, your new nature is part of your inner man. It's the candle to the inner man. And when that candle was lit, the inner man came to life. And now it is also of light. God is the father of your inner man. He's not the father of your outward man. And so we have different words for the inner man and outward man. There's the body part of it, the hands and the toes. And a lot of people say, "Oh, the body's like a glove." Well, that would be okay if it was just the physical hands and legs and hair. But the body also contains the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And if I take a glove and put a leash on it and take it for a walk down the street, it's just going to follow wherever I go. It's got no life in it, no agenda in it. But if I tie my dog to a leash and take him for a walk, he's going to try to sniff every tree and do what he wants to do. And there's a will in the dog. Well, that's a better description of the body. The body has a soul, mind, emotions, and desires that are of the flesh, of meat. It has its own desires. Where the inner man also has a mind, emotions, and desires, but now they're of light, they're birth of God. And when you're born again, that inner man starts over in knowledge like a newborn baby. Now it must be fed knowledge. But it doesn't want to know how to cook pancakes. It only wants to know the will of God, the word of God. And in that inner man is a heart of emotions. And you're going to read this in Galatians chapter 5, how the inner man holds the emotions of God that are formed in you, that are developed in you. So you don't get all this automatically. It has to be developed in you. And the picture here is really clear, at least to me. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, now that word Spirit, the word Spirit can mean the Holy Spirit. It can mean your inner man. It can mean the new nature. Or it can mean a demonic spirit. That word Spirit. So we want to find in context what he's talking about here. If you've listened to me preach the last couple of years, you already know what I'm going to say here. The fruit of the Spirit here is the new nature. The new nature is like a seed. And when you ask Jesus in your heart, that's the Jesus in your heart, is the seed of the new nature. I used to think I had a little Jesus running around and a little kitchen in there and a bedroom, and I got Jesus in my heart. But really, asking Jesus into your heart is the new nature. It's a seed. It's a seed of Christ. When he was resurrected from hell, death, and sin, when he was resurrected, that's the nature you received. His resurrection nature of Christ is what God was able to give to you. Not the individual nature, but the same. It's the same nature. The same way that he raised Jesus from death to life, from sin to righteousness in hell, he raised you from death to life, from sin to righteousness. And he did it by giving you that same nature of Christ. If I take a seed, like an apple seed, and slice it in half and look at it with a microscope, inside that seed is a image of an apple tree. And if I plant the seed in the ground, it takes the nutrients and it actually forms the image. It builds the image that's always been in it. If you give the seed what it needs, the nutrients, the water it, then it will develop and form the image that's always been in it. A big apple tree will grow. And it doesn't grow an orange tree. It doesn't grow a weed. It grows an apple tree because that's the seed it came from. Well, you got a seed placed in you when you were born again. He took out the seed of Adam, the nature of sin, and he replaced it with the nature of righteousness. How different should the children of God be from the children of Adam? This is why the world is placing Christianity right alongside of every other religion, because we become a carnal church, a religious church of doing good works for God in the name of God, but not transforming. You have a bunch of caterpillars buying T-shirts with wings on it, getting wings tattooed on them and claiming I'm going to fly, and none of them are flying. We don't see people walking like Jesus yet. like Paul said, not that I've attained, but that's my goal. The children of God should be living by God's standards and by a life of Christ in them that the world does not have. And it's available to us, but it doesn't come automatic. It's not by choice. You just don't choose it. You have to transform. And that's why that word transformation is so important, to see the importance of it in that verse. It means I can't just accept it. I have to transform into it. And here's hold your finger there in Galatians 5. And look over here in Galatians 4 while I have you here with me. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So when you take the seed of Christ, inside of that seed, if you were to slice it open, that nature of Christ, you would find an image in it of Jesus. Jesus in all of his maturity, all of his love, all of his holiness, all of his peace. The peace of Christ is a much higher peace than you'll ever find in the world. The love of Christ is a much higher love than you'll ever find in the world. We tell our congregation, go love your neighbor. You need to love your neighbor. So they go out and do their best. And that's a step of faith. So that's a good action. Everything you do according to the word is a step of faith, and it's a good action. But without transformation, you don't become what the word says. You're always trying to act like the word instead of become like the word. But the power of transformation is that you become what the word says you can become. And that's why the transformation message is so important. Many people are believing and standing in faith. I am what the word says I am. But they're like a caterpillar. Until you get into that cocoon and transform, you can quote all the verses, speak all the verses. And please, I'm a confession man. I got faith, blood of faith in me for years. Confession's important. Speaking the word's important. Standing on the word is important. But if we don't go to a place of transformation, then you're speaking the promises that you'll never really receive. But just with a little transformation, miracles will begin to happen in your life. You begin to transform out of seeing, thinking, and feeling. Out of the outward man, you begin to transform to think, feel, and see out of the inner man. As the inner man grows and matures, as Christ is formed in you. So Paul gives us a picture of Christ being formed in you in verse 22 of chapter 5 of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit. So the word fruit tells us that fruit only comes on a mature tree. It doesn't come by itself. Gary said one time, it was so good, he said, an apple seed doesn't make fruit. It makes a tree. And when that tree matures, then the fruit comes. Here it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is something that only comes on a mature tree. And he's given us a picture of the inner man. That in the inner man, as it matures, then the fruit will come out of that inner man. God couldn't do with your outward man because your outward man is of this earth. How different should a child of God be than the child of the world? How different should the strongest, most holy, best child of God be compared to the strongest, best behaved, unsaved child of the world? Well, it's as different as light is from dark. There's no comparison. Yet in our carnal Christianity that we have out there today, we're just going through another generation, passing on religion to the next generation, trying to keep each other happy for 40, 50 years. And praise God, because at least they go to heaven. But we're not seeing what the Bible says is available to me, to you, to the church, to the world. God wants to have many people of his children to be like Jesus to the world. Not just talk about Jesus, but to become like Jesus. And if you say, well, that's impossible. You don't know me. That's impossible. I'll never be like Jesus. Well, yes, exactly. It is impossible. It is impossible. That's why you need to come alongside the impossible maker. Holy Spirit doesn't think it's impossible. He thinks it's very probable for you if you will take that seed of the new nature and give it the nutrients it wants. If you go through your cocoon and transform, you're going to be and live as a different person, a child of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, that word Spirit, I have it underlined because that's talking about your new nature, that seed of Christ in you. It's the new nature. And so when you let that seed grow, it first grows the tree. And from that tree comes the fruit of an apple. Well, you're no different. That's the picture of transformation. You have a seed of Christ in you. That seed of Adam was quickened and turned into the seed of Christ. It was a miracle. You started off in one species, a species of darkness. And in the end, when we're on the new earth, we'll be in our new outward bodies. And the outward man's mind, emotions, and desires will be as righteous as the glorified body, will be as righteous as the inner man's is. And God will click us together. And what a miracle, because in the end, we'll still be there. That's the thing about children, conceiving children. Two people made a creature, a human, a person that will live for the rest of eternity. The people made them. And now they're going to live forever. Me and my wife, we've created two creatures who are going to live for all of eternity. And praise God, they're born again. So we'll spend all eternity together in heaven and the new earth, together in Christ. But you're not finished yet. You're still wearing that outward body. That's where the suffering it talks about is. The things we suffer, that talks about in Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 5, the groanings, the suffering, the sufferings of this present time will not be compared with the glory. That word glory is referring to when I get the new outward body. That the suffering I'm going through, making this outward body that I'm wearing today, this dead, fallen, meat head, I call it the monkey on my back with its mind, emotions, and desires. I have to fight against it, resist it, make it submit to the inner man. Many people are trying to make their outer man submit to the word, but that's not transformation. It's a good work. Denying the flesh, resisting the flesh, it's all a good work. But there is a process of transformation, which is building up the new man first and then mortifying the outward man, putting to death, which means our outward body, which is the temple of God, also holds a mind, emotions, a desire that are not of God. And it must be made to bow down to the inner man. Either your outward man is serving your inward man, or your inward man is serving the outward man. Religion makes sense to the outward man. Relationship makes sense to the inner man. Because your inner man is born of God. God's the father of your spirit, and not your flesh, not your outward man. Up in verse 16, it tells us this fight. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. This is a battle between the soul of the inner man, the mind, emotions, and desires of the inner man, and the mind, emotions, and desires of the outward man. Back down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So you don't need an outward law to tell you you need how to live, because you have formed Christ in you. This verse 22 is a definition of Christ being formed in the spirit of the believer, in the inner man of the believer. And so when it says the spirit lusts against the flesh, that word flesh is not talking about your hands. It's talking about the mind and emotions and the soul of the outward man that's fighting against the soul of the inner man. Jesus said the same thing. Let's look over here. I think it's in Matthew. Matthew 26, verse 38. Well, I'll start in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and two sons Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Now this is the moment where we know he sweated blood, because it was such an intense battle. And he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." So his soul was sorrowful, dreadful. Maybe you've been there where you don't want to live, you don't know if you're going to make it. But it's not the soul. Like most Christians say, well, it's the soul and the spirit. But no, it's not the soul and spirit, because Jesus clarifies it in a few verses, you'll see. Yes, it's the soul, but he tells you the soul of the outward man. If I come to your house and you have me over for a coffee, and while you're not looking, I reach into your wallet and steal some money, and you catch me, "Hey, I know you're a preacher and you need your money, but come on, you should have just asked." And I got your money, and you look, and I got your silverware in my jacket pocket, and like, "Ah, you got me. You know, it's my hands. I'm sorry, my hands are thieves. Bad hands. They're my hands, you know, they're little thieves. They just steal things without me knowing. I didn't know I did it. Wow, what? What's that doing in my pocket? Oh, it's my hands. My hands are little thieves. Bad hands. You'd say, "No, it's not your hands." See, the source of your fight is not in your fingers or your hands. It's in the soul. It's in the mind, emotions, and desires. And in a few messages, we're going to get to the emotional part and the soul part more specifically, and you're going to really love it. But here Jesus says, "And when he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death, stay here and watch with me.' And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, 'Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me even 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation.'" Now look here what it says. "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now he didn't say the spirit is willing, but the soul is weak. See, he's helping us in this picture. We can see that his problem was the soul of the outward man, that it was resisting him, fighting him. He's Jesus. You know, "God, I do whatever you want. I only say what you want me to say." But even in him, because he had an earthly body, there was a temptation, a resistance against the will of God. Not much different than when you decide to get up and pray early in the morning. "I'm going to go pray in tongues." You get up and you find all of a sudden one day you find a resistance that's fighting you, saying, "Oh, you don't need to go. You need extra sleep. You've been working, you've been praying and doing good. let's do it tomorrow. The most famous words, let's do it tomorrow. And tomorrow we say, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow we say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I just want to get up and do what God wants. Why is there a resistance, a fight? Is the fight my tongue, my hand? No, it's the soul of the outward man. And that's what Jesus said. The flesh is weak. And if we put these two words together, we can say the soul of my flesh, my outward man, is weak, but the soul of my spirit, my inner man, is strong, or is desires the will of God only. All right, I'm preaching a little too much here. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 17, the flesh lusts against the spirit. So these two words is not the Holy Spirit against your body. The flesh, whenever you see the word flesh, it either means the nature of sin, but when the flesh is referring to your body, it's not talking about your hands and your toes. That part of you is the temple of God. The flesh is the soul that's in the outward man, the carnal, fleshly mind, fleshly emotions, fleshly desires. It is the old man that he talks about. It is the Alan that before I was born again, he's still here. But I have been born again. I am a new creation. I'm a new creature born of God. But my inner man is like a newborn baby. It has to develop and mature. A lot of Christians get the new nature mixed up with the inner man. And so they try to wrestle the outward man with the new nature. I'm born again. Now I can just be perfect by choice. Good luck with that. You can dress up perfect and act perfect, but the job is not to act perfect. It's to mortify the deeds of the outward man. You have a war when you're born again between your spirit and your flesh, or more specifically, the soul of the inner man against the soul of the outward man. And you're going to see in transformation that the way that God deals with the outward man is with the inner man. When the inner man matures, then you begin to overcome the outward man. Oh, I hope you see this. Verse 22, chapter 5 again. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's the fruit of the new nature. Here's the picture. When you're born again, you have a new nature. It's a seed. It's a seed of Jesus. And it is the engine of righteousness. It's really tiny. It's the tiniest part of you. But it's the most important part because that nature in you is what gets you into heaven. Now, it wants to bring forward the image that's in it. Whenever you see the word image, whenever you see the word light, whenever you see the word righteousness, when you see Christ in me, those are all words that define the new nature. It's like a seed. And so if I said to you, hey, I got this apple seed. I was up in Washington State, and the farmer there gave me a Fuji apple, delicious, and I saved the seed, brought it down home, and I'm going to plant it and water it, and I'm going to make you an apple pie. I'm going to make applesauce, and we'll make apple cobbler. I'm going to give you all the apples. This tree is going to make so many apples. I'm going to need someone to give them to. And you get excited, like, yeah, thank you. I got a hookup with a friend now. And then you come back a year later, and I pull out a glass, and I say, hey, I pull out a little container. So there, see the seed? It's still in. That's the apple seed. There, inside of that seed is an image of a great big Fuji apple tree, and it will make many, many apples for us. You would look at me after a couple of visits and say, Alan, I got to talk to you. I know you're praying in tongues a lot, but I'm a little concerned that it's making you crazy. Do you know, Alan, that the seed doesn't produce fruit? That if you want to see apples from that seed, you got to plant it in the ground. So it can take the nutrients of the ground and form the image that's in it and build the Fuji apple tree. And when it's grown, it will start to bring forth fruit, apples. But you keep promising me that you're going to give me apple cobbler and apple pie. But you got to plant the seed, Alan. Well, that's how I feel to the church. That we talk about the possibilities. We read in the Word the promises. If we just, the promises of the seed, the promises of God in me, we're going to fly. We're going to lay hands on the sick and they all will recover. Not just backs and knees, but, I mean, babies born with no faces. And not just that, not just the miracles, that the life-changing world of love and joy and peace of Christ that we can walk in. It's mine in Jesus' name. But you got to get it and plant it. You've got to give it the nutrients. And so we have a church that's been trained how to talk about the promises of the seed that will grow. But we're not just supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to become it. See, when you give this seed, the fruit of the Spirit, that word Spirit is the new nature, the seed of Christ. When you put it through the cocoon, the picture of the butterfly, for here the picture is plant it in the ground and feed it the nutrients. You know what I'll tell you the nutrients are? Our cocoon, when we plant the seed, the seed's planted in your inner man because the outward man is of Adam. God will not let any flesh glory in his presence. That's why the walk of the Spirit is not what you can do for God. God doesn't need anything from Alan. He doesn't want anything from Alan. Alan's best effort is not holy. It's not righteous. But what Christ can do through me, when he builds Christ in me, then that is righteous. It's from God. My cocoon, my nutrients for this seed that's been planted in my inner man, praying in tongues, worshiping God, meditating the Word of God, confessing the Word of God. Those are all things that cause the seed to build the image that's in it. And you know what image is in it? Not Alan. Not Alan in his best effort, but the very image of Christ is being formed in me. That's this love, joy, peace. These are emotions. Love is an emotion. Peace is an emotion. This joy is an emotion that's in your inner man. And it's a million times, a billion times higher than the best emotion of the outward man. And it's available to you through transformation. But if you don't give the seed what the nutrients, it'll remain a seed and you'll remain immature in the Spirit your whole life, serving God. This is a walk of transformation. This is the message I believe that God has assigned to me, the main part of my message in my older years as I'm getting gray, to bring to the church, at least to anyone who will hear it, that the message of transformation, of building Christ, forming Christ in that inner man, which is from God, given to him back what he has given to you, not anything of the flesh will glory in his presence. No work that I can do in the name of God will be accepted as an offering. It is what he can form in me. It is righteousness. Holiness. The righteousness will begin to come forward in my life. I don't grow in righteousness. That seed always is complete, but it'll begin to form and build the image of Christ in my inner man. And then as it builds, it will begin to challenge the image of Alan's Christianity. And then I begin to mortify, and I'll finish with this here. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the new nature, the fruit that comes forward when the new nature builds Christ in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let me Alanize this for you. But the fruit that comes from the new nature as it comes forth in your inner man is the love that Jesus walked in, a love that's only available from God the Father. The joy that Jesus walked in, a heavenly joy, the peace that Jesus walked in, a a heavenly peace above all circumstances, a long-suffering, a kindness, a goodness, a faithfulness that only God can give to you. As this developed in you, gentleness, self-control, you don't need an outward law, an outward preacher to tell you how to act, because you'll become these things. Verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So your flesh, this outward body with its mind, emotions, and desires are to be crucified. There's passions in your flesh. There's desires in your flesh. It's not just the meat on your hand. That's the flesh. It is the mind, emotions, and desires that are in the soul of the outward man. That's what bothered Jesus. That's what's bothering you. But you have an inner man that can grow and overcome the outward man and have victory every single time. We're on an incredible walk together just by spending time with the helper, the teacher, the guide, the Holy Spirit. Let's keep going. Let's keep praying. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are, what life looks like around you. The Holy Spirit's with you right now. He'll minister love. He'll minister healing to you, strength to you, God's grace on you to be strong in Him, and God's grace on you to get into your cocoon, to go add the nutrients of prayer, of tongues, and worship, and the Word of God, and watch that seed begin to take root and form in your inner man. And there'll be a day that you will walk in the love of Jesus in the morning and at night. You'll walk in the peace that Jesus had when all hell is breaking loose around you. You'll be in peace and everyone will wonder what's wrong with you. There's a long-suffering, a kindness, a joy of God that's beyond all circumstances. That's available to every single believer if they'll just spend time with the Holy Spirit and allow transformation to take place. Amen. I love you, and I believe in you. God believes in you. I'll see you again soon. God bless.